Everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Podnuts Pro for the year 2020. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you from the great state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that I have planned a fantastic set of shows for you in 2020. I know that I can say that, but I really hope that you guys will back me up and agree by letting me know when my shows are good. Of course, you can always let me know when they're not, because I will accept all feedback, good and bad. But here we are in 2020, and I've already hinted on a couple of previous shows. My first guest here tonight, I think I told everybody, Mr. Corey Fruitman from Instant House Call is my guest. He is sitting in the green room, and I'm actually laughing because he actually has a computer name that doesn't sound anything like what we would normally use. He's got a computer named Dummy. So that's, if you could see the live show, which we're not doing tonight, that would be pretty hilarious. But so we will get him in here in just a couple of minutes. And just to basically do a quick little recap, I ended off 2019. If you have not yet listened to the year in review, that podcast came out just before New Year's. And I also did an open house party. And outside of a couple of people thinking that it was a real open house party and thinking that they would be coming to my house or watching my house on video, shame on you. No, it was a Zoom meeting where we had several people. And I want to thank, you know, Mike Smith and Matt Rainey and Jason, a couple of guys that showed up, and we hung out, had some listeners also participate. So we are going to be doing a lot more things like that where we will have live shows. We're going to have kind of virtual meetups. And something that I mentioned on there, when I get the Patreon gig up and running, we'll be doing some premium content on the Patreon page, and we're going to have uncensored, unscripted podcast where you guys can hang out with me. We'll talk about topics, and we will kind of be able to talk about things in a much more in-depth way. And like I said, uncensored, unscripted, and we're going to have some fun when that happens. And let's see here. So Patreon, that'll be something that I will ask you guys to head over to and support. There will be a lot of free content there on the Patreon, but to get into the live, uncensored, unscripted segment, I'm going to ask that you be a contributor there, and it's just going to be a nice little deal. $1 an episode for one level, $2 an episode for another premium level. I'm going to be working on getting some nice little giveaways, some swag, something. I'll figure it out, but hope that you will support the Podnuts Pro Show by going over there. And I'm going to start out this year pretty much how I ended last year. No sponsors on the show. There will be sponsors later, but it will be for particular types of events and shows. So you're not going to hear me talking about Podnuts Pro sponsored by such and such, unless somebody wants to come out and give me a ton of money, but I don't foresee that happening, but it might. But just so that you know, that's where we're going with that. And let's see. But I will be go ahead and pimping the usual suspects, Freedom Voice, the VoIP provider that I started working with over a year ago, even though I know that there's been some issues, and we'll probably be talking about that real, real soon. I am still using them. Haven't deployed anything new lately, and got a nice little email from them last week. I'm sure if you are a Freedom Voice partner, you got that email where they apologized for the outages that have happened and vowed to do better. And we hope that they do. just like every vendor we all work with, we hope that they all do better. And let's see, Malwarebytes, still working with them using the Malwarebytes tool set. And I will continue to have links in the show notes for them. So Freedom Voice, Malwarebytes, and of course, Fabs Auto Backup. And that has been a fantastic program, and you should have that. All right, that's it. I think we're going to quit the housekeeping notes because that's all I wrote down. Now, as I mentioned, in the green room, our friend that I've known for, I think, 6 years? I believe that's so.
Six or seven years.
Yeah. Mr. Corey Fruitman, the founder and owner of Instant House Call. Corey, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Yeah, it has been some time, but I saw you on the Facebook and said, we got to hook up. And so here you are. I appreciate you coming on the show, being the first guest of 2020.
Very excited to be here. Yeah, okay. It's I've been making my New Year's resolutions, my personal and my business New Year's resolutions. And we'll probably talk about some of those a little bit later. But
so you actually do resolutions?
Sort of. I mean, like I've anyone, I've got my goals, right? I've got the classic ones. I want to lose some weight. I want to, you know, get more business through the door, obviously. But you know, so a little bit of personal, a little bit of business going on there.
All right. I myself do not do resolutions, but I do goals.
Yeah, I've got a friend who resolves every year not to do resolutions, so he does that. he never messes that one up.
That's an easy one to keep, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do have stuff. I got a bunch of shows. I have a couple of reunions that I'll be doing this year. So I will be working on the weight. Since I stopped playing ball a couple of years ago and stopped working out and basically said, I'm done. Cause I've pretty much been active my entire life playing sports. And I just finally said, I'm done. I can't be competing with the 20-year-olds anymore. And what do I have to prove? So I put on a few pounds. So I need to take those off. Got to look good. I got a reunion coming up I've got a college reunion coming up. No, I'm sorry. The college reunion just passed. The high school reunion is coming up and we're doing a family reunion, this summer. So
nice.
Need to look good for the fam.
Well, for what it's worth, the app that I'm using to lose weight, the app that I'm using to count calories, I guess, it's called Fat Secret. It's on Android. I think it's on iOS too.
Oh.
I find it very useful because I can type in, you know, like in my case, a lot of the apps don't have Canadian restaurants, for example.
Okay.
You guys don't have Swiss Chalet down there, for example. But if I type in Swiss Chalet quarter chicken, they've got it. They've got all the health information for it too. So it's very useful that way.
All right. What was the name of that app again?
Fat Secret. Fantastic name.
Okay. So, you know, I really wasn't going to talk about this, but I just put an app on my phone and my tablet, and it is called My Net Diary.
Hmm.
And I was sitting with the wife. So I've used this now I've just finished my third day.
Mm-hmm.
And actually this will be day number four, but I have to put my stuff in at the end of the day. So the first 2 days I was in the red, really bad.
Mm.
And yesterday was my first day in the green. And it basically has all the meals from a ton of restaurants that I can put in. So when I was sitting down with the wife when we were going through this, she had to say, she told me I needed to get another app because I don't eat out that much.
Mm.
So when I was putting in, you know, the meals, they weren't really jiving with what was in the app. So when I talk about, you know, a breakfast sandwich, it's one that we make at home. So it doesn't match, you know, the McDonald's Egg McMuffin or anything like that. So I've got to find a new app. So I'm going to look up yours and see if it'll help.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good fit actually. So I do eat out a lot. For stuff at home, I can usually find something that either matches pretty closely or I can sort of wing it, right? Like I can say, this is similar to this restaurant or this is similar to this box, whatever.
Okay.
But it has a combination. It's got both, like, it has both restaurant and home cooking stuff.
Okay. Now, does your app have a space for you to put in things like exercises, daily steps, water, and all of that?
So for that, I use, I use something like a Fitbit. I use a Zenomi Mi Band 5.
Okay.
Or 4, pardon me. And I use that to track my steps, track my sleep, and all that fun stuff.
Okay. I'm not doing that. I'm not buying a bit. But I do have this exercises and the water. They even have these weird, they have a grocery check. They have vitamins. They have,
oh yeah.
That's way too much work, but we'll see how it goes. If I move to another app, obviously I'll have to find those things as well, because what this app did is at the beginning, you put in what your weight currently is, mm-hmm. and what weight you want to get to. And it tells you, you know, how many calories a day you need to be consuming, and it will adjust based on your exercises, based on how many steps you take. So that's one of the reasons I started with it. We'll see how good it does.
There's a lot of different diets out there too. Like, you know, some people swear by the Atkins diet. Some people talk about keto. Some people talk about whatever. I'm a very simple person, and I don't really have the time to go, you know, checking every single thing I eat. So I'm a calories in, calories out kind of guy. I just try to eat fewer calories than I need, and then I lose weight.
That's what I try. Yeah. And I wasn't going to pay to be a part of a plan.
Right. And then you have to, and those, I've never done one of those plans, but I've known people who have, and you've got to buy their food and you've got to go through all this. It's like, it's too much. It's way too much.
All right. So we took a left turn right out of the gate.
We talked a little bit of technology. We had an app and a Fitbit in there.
That is true. Yep. There we go. Which neither that I have. All right. So getting back to tech, I guess the one thing that I had that I was going to ask you about is you had, when I had seen you on the Facebook and you were talking about your website and mm-hmm. you had gotten a new logo, gotten a new look. And I thought, oh, there's somebody that actually uses their website, because I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of wanted to ask you, hey, you know, in terms of the website that you're using, what types of things, you know, first of all, why did you make the change and what things were you looking to do with it in terms of, you know, was it just the look? Was it to drive traffic? What was it?
It was a bunch of things. So the website that I had immediately before this, so there's a little bit of history here, but the website that I had immediately before this was actually a placeholder website that I let hold its place way too long. Okay. So what had happened is my website, actually, I had a very nice website that had been professionally graphically designed and the whole bit. And unfortunately it got hacked. WordPress has vulnerabilities. It got hacked, and I had to take it down and replace it with that placeholder website. And that placeholder, I just kept on going further and further back down my list of priorities. And I've got to say that placeholder actually performed pretty well, but it did not look the way I wanted it to look. So I finally got around to redoing the entire website. And then that, of course, you know, spun out into doing a whole rebrand. And yeah, it's still ongoing. So the website's all done and rebranded and everything else, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff that has to get done still too.
All right. So I heard you say that you use WordPress.
Yes.
Which mine is WordPress, but mine is not nearly as good as yours. It probably never will be, but so what types of things do you do with the WordPress in terms of plugins? And
so I try to keep the plugins as minimal as possible. Okay. I can, if you want, I can actually go through the list of plugins that I do have, but I obviously do use WordPress plugins. I also use a framework called Divi. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So it's a framework that allows, it's got like, I can't believe I'm going to use this term because it's so 1980s, but it's got a WYSIWYG editor.
Okay. All right.
it allows you to be honest, I actually didn't put the stuff into Divi, so I don't know it particularly well, but it allows you to do responsive design and regular design and all that other stuff. in a reasonably simple way. And it makes it easy to edit, and you don't have to worry about all the responsiveness stuff. And I'm sure there's a million other features in there that I'm not familiar with, but I went through a pretty substantial process in order to pick it. So I am glad that we ended up on Divi. And I would recommend to anybody that you use a framework as opposed to going vanilla WordPress or grabbing a template off the web and using that. So there's Divi, there's Genesis, there's a few others out there, but those are the two biggies.
Okay. Now, is that just sound like it's spelled D-I-V-I or how?
Yeah, D-I-V-I, yeah.
Okay. All right. Divi WordPress framework.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the good, there's a bunch of good things about having a standardized framework and a big framework. One is that it gets updated all the time. Like Divi is constantly releasing updates and security on WordPress. I've learned my lesson. It's not good. It's really not. It's there's a lot of holes and a lot of issues with it, which is the other reason I keep my plugins at a minimum. Because the more plugins you have, the more attack surface you have. And I also use WordFence. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
I am familiar with WordFence. I do have a WordPress gal and, she uses that.
Yeah. So WordFence is good to have. In terms of securing web, in terms of securing it, I also use, I use the WordPress.org or WordPress.com. I can't remember. Authentication instead of using the WP admin authentication. Mm-hmm. And there's a few reasons for that. One, you can have two-factor authentication with WP admin, but with the WordPress.com or .org, whichever one it is, you can do SMS or you can do app or you can do other things, I think, as well. But anyway, the bottom line is it offloads the authentication process, which if you're getting hit very heavily on WP admin, by someone who's trying to do a brute force attack, it can actually slow your servers down.
Right.
So I prefer to offload that to WordPress and let them deal with it. And so that's done through the Jetpack plugin.
Okay. Now, I'm going to kind of change gears here. So it sounds like you did a lot of this yourself.
I did not.
Oh, okay. Because I told you I had a WordPress gal. I just tell her, I want it to look like this. Go do it.
Right.
But you sound like you were pretty involved, at least in knowing what was going into your site.
I was involved. I learned the hard way that I have to know certain things in order to make sure that they happen. In the past, I did just say, okay, go design this, go put it in and make it work. And, it ended badly for me. So I had to take from that lesson, what I could and make sure it didn't happen again. I went pretty whole hog on securing it this time. I don't think anybody's going to get back in. I don't know if you're familiar with SE Linux, Security Enhanced Linux.
I'm sorry, Linux? Listen, I was going to make a big old announcement here in a couple of weeks that I've, kind of wandered into the Android camp. So Linux,
I runs on Apple Linux. You'll be happy to know.
Right.
It's secured all the way down to the operating system level now at this point. So it's pretty hard. I'll be surprised if anyone gets through this.
Okay. My guess is that most WordPress people are not Linux people.
You're probably right. So, you're probably right.
All right. So being involved in this process of redoing the website, and of course you said rebranding, and being somebody who, as a business owner, needing to know what's actually being done, that sounds like something we should be doing with every bit of our business.
I mean, so you have to hire things out, right? Like you can't do everything yourself. And you'll make yourself crazy if you do. And I should give a little shout out to Matt Rodella, who I sent questions to and he very kindly answered them for me. Cause he knows this stuff better than I do by a long shot. So I actually learned a lot from him.
Matt Rodella with TechSite Builder, Mr. WordPress.
He has TechSite Builder. And what's the name of his marketing company? Do you remember?
I should know that off the top of my head. Tech Marketing Engine, something like that.
That sounds right, yeah.
Sorry, Matt, for not knowing it off the tip of my head, especially since I had them on a podcast. Yeah.
Anyway, Matt was a huge help to me, so I very much appreciate everything he did there.
All right, I will find that, and I will put in the proper link to the page. And that was basically Matt Rodella and Ramey Bell. Tech Marketing Engine is the name of that company that they're doing together. Are you Googling?
I'm Googling.
Yeah. Yep, folks, this is a very professional web podcast you got going on. I got no producers, no helpers. We're winging it. Here we go. Tech Marketing Engine. That's it. Yeah, what would we do without Google?
No, seriously, I don't. Well, you know what? I kind of do know, because I think I mentioned to you before the show that I've de-Googled a fair bit of my life.
Yeah. We might as well talk about that since you brought it up, because the thought of de-Googling someone's life doesn't sound possible.
It's, you know, it's one of those things that once you sort of get on a roll with it, it's actually not as difficult as it sounds. And now I genuinely don't even notice that I'm not on Google, because I've got so much infrastructure in place.
Now, is it just Google in general, or is it like the Google platform, like Google Mail, Google Suite, or whatever all those things are? I mean, what does it mean to de-Google your life?
So to de-Google in my case, it's, I don't know if you've ever seen Google Takeout. Are you familiar with that?
I am not.
Okay. Google Takeout lets you take all of your data that Google has on you. And you can see how much they actually have on you. And it's a lot. And it's actually a little bit, in my opinion, frightening.
Now, so is this like a website, a package, or what is, I mean?
And just Google Takeout.
Okay.
And they'll show you all the data. If you want to see it in a more friendly way, and I'm actually just going to look this up right now. I think it's, give me a second.
Well, first of all, I got to verify it's you.
Right. There are ways. If you want, I'll provide them for the show notes afterwards, because I do have it written down somewhere. But there are ways to take a look at all the data that Google has on you, in a more sort of user friendly, GUI kind of way.
Right.
I took a look at it one time, and I realized that they have itemized every grocery order I've ever made, every pizza order I've ever made, every hotel I've ever reserved, and they have all that data on me. And it's not that I think that they're going to do anything horrible with it. They probably won't. I mean, really, all they want to do is advertise. That's their goal. But it's too much data. It's too much information on me. And it's more information than I know about myself. And I'm not comfortable with anybody having that. And it's, you know, nothing personal against anyone. But it's just, I prefer to have a little bit of privacy in my life. And so I went on through the process of de-Googling. And that meant getting rid of my Gmail, getting rid of my calendar, getting rid of Google Drive. And I had to figure out ways to, for example, share my calendar with my wife, who, that's Google Calendar was how we, you know, where we booked everything. And so we found replacements for all of that stuff. And I'm very happy with it. I even went so far as to take Google off my Android phone. So I have a de-Googled Android phone, with no Google on it whatsoever.
Okay. Now, are you talking Google or are you talking Alexa?
I'm talking Google. So Alexa is actually an Amazon product.
Oh.
But when I say Google, I'm talking about the analytics that Google pulls off your phone.
Okay. Google Analytics. Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but every time you hit the microphone button on your phone, it takes your voice, it records it, and it sends it to Google. And then all that data is available to them. If they really wanted to, they could listen to all of your searches and listen to your voice and analyze it the whole bit.
I thought they all were listening. I thought, you know, Alexa was listening. The Facebook was listening.
They are. They are. Absolutely. But there are ways that you can have them listen to less. You're never going to have no footprint. You're always going to have a technical footprint of some kind. But there are some easy ways to make sure you have less. So, for example, the browser that I'm connected to with right now, it's called Brave. Have you heard of that one before?
That one I've not heard of. No.
Okay. So it's a privacy focused browser. There's two biggies. There's Firefox with a whole bunch of plugins, or for people who don't want to manage the plugins and all that stuff, there's Brave. So it's brave.com. And it's a privacy focused browser. And the nice thing about being privacy focused is that part of being privacy focused is that it blocks all of the Google stuff, which means you see no ads. So you have an ad free experience and a Google free experience, which is a nice combination.
Okay. So, but that's an actual browser. So, cause I know of like, you know, the search engine DuckDuckGo and those types mm-hmm. of things, but Brave is actually a browser.
Brave is actually a browser. It's okay. based on Chromium, which is the open source version of Chrome.
Right.
So it looks and behaves like Chrome, and it loads just as fast, if not faster, because there's no ads. But it works very well for me. And on the very rare instance, I really do mean very rare instance, that there's some sort of compatibility issue, like, because it does block third-party cookies. And sometimes you'll run into sites that need those third-party cookies.
Right.
There's a little picture of a lion in the address bar. You click on the lion, you turn off shields, and it'll just run just like a normal Chrome browser.
Now, can you do that per site or?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It'll remember the per site settings.
All right. So this is like the Tor browser for real people.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So I just went to brave.com and basically right there at the beginning, you deserve a better internet. So interesting. I'll have to take a look at that.
And then in terms of search engine, I now use startpage.com,
mm-hmm.
Which is, it takes Google's results, but it doesn't use Google tracking. So you basically get the exact same thing that you get with Google just with a little bit more privacy, without them tracking everything you're doing.
All right. So I think I've seen Start Page, but I think I've seen it detected as a browser hijack or malicious. And I think anytime I've seen that, I've just removed it and reset on a customer system. So I must have Start Page either mislabeled or we're talking about a different Start Page.
So it's startpage.com.
Okay.
I've never heard of it. I mean, I know it's not malicious. I use it every day. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there is another start page or not, but startpage.com is the search engine that I use.
All right. Unless I've got end users that are trying to be like you and Google and they're doing this on their own, but I always go back in whenever I do a scan or whatever, I always reset it back to their home, you know, the default homepage or something like that. So startpage.com, the world's most private search engine. Oh, it's a pretty bold statement.
I'll throw out one more for people who are environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. There's one called Ecosia, ecosia.org. And by searching with Ecosia, they actually plant trees with the revenue that they generate from ads on it. And it's also privacy friendly.
Oh, okay. Where are they based out of?
I have no idea.
Because I want to know where if they're planting trees. I want to know where they're planting them. Ecosia. All right. We'll look that up too.
Yeah. They claim to, I'm just looking at their site right now. They claim to have planted 80 million trees so far.
Okay. That's a lot of trees.
That's a lot of trees.
That can't. That means they have to have been around for a while. They can't.
They're not doing that, a lot of searches.
Even in the last 5 years, that can't be right.
Yeah.
Let's look at their FAQ. Oh, it goes to Zendesk. Okay. I can't find the About Us page real quick. About Ecosia. How does it make money? What does it mean to social business? All right. I'll just put links in there and people can go search on their own. All right, all part of de-Googling your life.
All part of de-Googling your life, yep.
All right, so you took off Google from everything. You're using a different browser, a different search engine. What else?
So I've got a calendar and Google Drive and Gmail replacement. And I'm using Nextcloud. Are you familiar with Nextcloud?
I've heard of it.
This is something that I think you guys should all familiarize yourself with, because it's easily something that you can sell. And you can buy it pre-installed and hosted and someone doing the updates for you for something like a really small amount, $50, $60 a year. In my case, I host it myself and I connect it to Amazon S3 for the backend storage. So I've got virtually unlimited storage at an incredibly cheap price. And it's very much like having Google Drive, but, that's how I do my calendar sync, my file sharing and my mail. So I've got a plugin for Nextcloud called Rainloop, that does the mail, and it's got a very Gmail-like interface. Again, more private. There are people who host their own mail and host their own spam servers and stuff.
Right.
I'm not that hardcore. I've got a business that I've got to run.
But block my attachments I tried to send you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So I use that. And I've been very happy with it. And the true litmus test is my wife is happy with it and it's easy enough for her to use. So she's moved from Gmail onto that. She's moved from Google Calendar onto that. And, there's the odd hiccup along the way, but for the most part, it's pretty good.
So did I find the right page, nextcloud.com, where it's talking about Nextcloud files, Nextcloud talk, groupware?
That's the one.
That's the one. Okay.
That's the one. So that you're looking at the commercial site for it.
Uh-huh.
There's also an open source site for it.
Okay.
If you look up Nextcloud hosting, you'll find a bunch of people who will do it for really cheap if you don't want to spend the time installing it yourself. I'm very, very happy with it.
All right. And you said you have your own server.
In my case, I've got my own server for everything. For mail, I actually bought mail from my DNS or from my domain provider.
Okay.
And so they handle the spam filtering and the actual mail stuff. But I connect to that through IMAP. It works great.
IMAP. So no actual full sync with Outlook or anything like that.
It does full sync. Like, so my phone and my desktop mail, I guess, are synced.
Okay.
I don't even know what the right word is there, but anyway, they're synced up together. I think you're thinking of POP, which doesn't do the sync.
Oh yeah. If it's not exchange sync, I don't look at it. So
IMAP does sync, but POP does not.
Okay. All right. So yeah, there we go. Your cloud, your rules, Nextcloud. That'll be interesting. Looking at that, I'm scrolling fast and trying to keep the show moving, but interesting. And now you made a comment saying that we should all pay attention to that. Is that basically for us personally in business, or do they have reseller options or anything like that?
It's open source. You can sell it. You can sell it as a service to your customers. I would take it for a spin and see if it's something that you think that you could sell.
All right.
I think you can. I think you can sell it as, if you sell anything like Dropbox, or if you want some form of webmail for your customers, or it does a million and one things after you figure out all the plugins and stuff. But if you're looking for any sort of groupware, it'll do it.
Okay.
And it does it actually reasonably elegantly and looks nice and professional and the whole bit. So,
all right. Well, this doesn't look like it's a North American company, because it has its pricings with the little, I think that's a pound sign at the end.
I'll take it. Let me take it. Okay.
It says starting at 50 users for 1900 E.
Oh, euros. Year. Euros.
Euros. That's okay.
Yeah.
God, I got to get out of the States. Okay. Interesting. Oh, collaborate online, online office. They got a lot of stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and they have Outlook add-ins. and branding. So there you go. Yeah. If you step up from the basic plan, you can do branding. So yeah, sounds like a nice little resale deal. All right. Corey, my hand's cramping. You got me writing down a lot of stuff here.
It's going to be long show notes. My God.
Wasn't part of the plan.
No. Too many tangents.
But of course I asked. I mean, because
we'll eventually get through these show notes, I promise.
It just sounded like a very interesting thing to de-Google life, because I do resist technology as much as people don't understand. I never set out to work in the tech industry. And I actually, I've been doing this now. So, I mean, I've been in tech, for years, but I've actually had this business now 22 years. Worked at a tech shop for 2 years before that, but I was always behind on technology. But even the stuff that's happening now to, automate your home, and I don't want those things listening.
I'm with
to
you.
Everything
100%.
I do. I got one of the Echoes, the Amazon Echo. I had that here because I thought, oh, I play music and stuff. And as soon as I found out it was listening, I've unplugged it, haven't turned it on since. I mean, yeah. I won't get any of those devices.
That's how I felt when I realized that my Android phone was literally following me around. If you look on your Google account, you can see that your Android phone reports your location back to Google, and it'll show you a nice little path of what you've taken every day. Now you can turn that off, but it's not as easy as it actually looks. So turning off location is not enough to do it. And I don't remember the whole process to do it, but if you want, I can look it up and post it later. But with my phone, I'll give you one more link for your show notes.
Okay.
I use Lineage OS. I got rid of stock Android or the stock, Google Android on my phone, and I flashed Lineage OS.
Okay.
With Micro G. That lets me install virtually every app from the App Store. There's a few that will balk at it, but I can do everything from my online banking to you name it. And it's Lineage OS with Micro G. And it's very solid.
Okay. There it is. Lineage OS, Android distribution.
And it's privacy focused, has all the Google stuff removed from it. And then the Micro G layer, it would basically act as if it were Google. So if an app tries to do something that it expects to be there, it will give an appropriate response, but not actually send anything outside of the phone.
All right. Lineage OS, an open source Android distribution. Available for several devices. That's a lot of stuff to do here.
It's actually easier than it looks. It looks intimidating at first, but it's actually, if I can do it, anyone can do it.
All right. So lineageos.org. And yes, I will have all of this in the very long show note that I do tonight. Interesting. So you're now on this de-Google kick. Mm-hmm. And you said that things have been great. What's the right word I'm looking for? You feel like you don't have to like look over your shoulder for tracking or anything like that.
I feel like I've regained some privacy. It's not that I have anything to hide. Like I would be the most boring person in the world. I'm sure Google has me in like a boring file somewhere. But it's not, I like having a little bit of privacy. I like that my information is my own. And, I've de-Googled and I do feel a little bit better.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said for, wanting to be left alone. If, all you want to do is hang out, go eat, go to the beach. You don't need to be tracked for that kind of stuff. Now, if I'm going into sensitive areas, track me. But
right.
You don't have to know what I eat and what I shop for at the grocery store and things like that.
You know what? I can give you a perfect example because this happened to me in real life. I was talking to my brother one time about a boy who was seated next to a man on a Virgin Airlines flight. And he apparently, Virgin Airlines has a policy where children who are flying alone aren't allowed to be seated next to men. They have to be seated next to women. So I pulled out my phone and I Googled man, boy, virgin. I'm like, oh my God. I've just found myself on a list somehow.
Oops.
Yeah, exactly. Like it just, and so like, you know, 10 years from now, someone looks at my Google history and asks me to justify why I was Googling man, boy, virgin. I'm not going to remember, but there's a legitimate reason to do it. But it would look terrible. It just looks terrible in the background, right?
Oh yeah. That's I'm surprised there wasn't an officer waiting for you as you deboarded the plane.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So this basically blows a lot of stuff out of the water of what I was going to ask, because basically I've been working on this concept of this year, I was going to ask every guest for the one thing that has, you know, either, you know, revolutionized their business. And in this case, obviously this seems to have revolutionized your life. But, you know, I've been wanting to get to this thing of, you know, trying to find out what's the one thing that has really impacted people in their business in the last year or so. But you and I haven't been talking a ton of business. So we're talking life. So is this basically your one thing that in the last few months has, you know, changed the way you view things?
I think it probably, yes. I mean, I do, like I said, I feel much more comfortable just doing whatever I want to do online and not having to really think about it.
Right.
So yeah, I'd say this has made a pretty substantial change in my life.
All right. Wow. You got me thinking about stuff now, but I just won't have time to do it all, but it'll be interesting. So de-Googling life.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of work.
It is at the outset. You definitely you have to be determined to do it.
But, right. And that's the thing I was just about ready to say. This is something that we really shouldn't have to do. I mean, we shouldn't have to work this hard to be private.
Right. I mean, look, all these services that are free come at a cost, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not, I think everyone in our industry especially knows that if you're not paying for it, then you're paying for it some other way.
Right? Well,
Facebook is no different.
Right. Somebody's paying for it somehow. And it's, right, you know, by you giving away your information. I actually heard a podcast earlier today where somebody talked about, you know, the way to build up your list is to do it through email, because all of these services that we use, you know, there's a lot of them that we really don't own, you know, in terms of the content that we're putting on Instagram or the Facebook or all of those things. Well, you know, once they're there, yes, it's our stuff, but it's not like we're going to go and be able to grab it all and pull it down and it's ours.
Right.
It's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the only thing that we really have is the list that we can extract. You know, even if you're using a CRM, you know, the one thing that she said is, you know, before you go using a service, make sure that you can export your information out of it if you want to change or do anything.
Yeah. That's, I know a bunch of people who, that's a really good point, because I know a bunch of people who use PayPal and they used it for subscriptions, and they wanted to leave PayPal, but they couldn't because all the credit cards were locked inside and they wouldn't export them. So that became a huge problem for them. They were stuck with that.
Were they using it for payment services or something like that? And they couldn't like delete their information out of it?
No, they could delete their information. The problem was that, let's say you've got 500 customers, whatever it is, and you've got their credit card numbers on file. You're not going to keep them on a piece of paper. You're going to keep them in PayPal where they're secure.
Right. Okay.
That's a good thing. Problem is, when you want to leave PayPal, they won't tell you what those credit card numbers are, and they won't export them to a third party, to another third party tool who will process credit cards for you. So you're stuck using PayPal or asking your customers for the credit card numbers all over again.
Right.
That's a whole lot of friction I think we're all familiar with.
Actually, I haven't even thought about anything like that because I haven't changed platforms for any of my stuff. That's interesting. I'll have to make a note of that.
It's so that's so Stripe, for example, does the same. They'll take the credit card numbers and store them, but they will transfer them to another provider if you leave.
Okay.
And I think Square is the same. You'd have to read their policies, but definitely a policy you want to make sure of when you're moving to a different payment processor. Make sure that they allow you to take your credit card numbers with you if you decide to leave them.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because then your customers are going to be worried about the fact of, well, if they still have our information, what can they do with it?
Right.
Interesting. All right. We are learning some stuff tonight. Or at least I am. Oh, my. All right, Corey. So we've talked about de-Googling your life. We talked about the website changes. I was thinking we would spend more time on that, but I think that we've done pretty good. I want to get to a new segment on the show that I want to do every week. So is there anything else that you want to mention about the stuff we talked about before we get to Florida Man?
No, let's do Florida Man. I could go on about de-Googling forever. So let's switch gears here.
All right. So ladies and gentlemen, I know that a lot of you have heard about Florida Man over the years. And basically the concept is if you go to Google or another browser search page and type in Florida Man and a date, you're going to see some crazy whacked out story about a Florida man and something stupid or illegal that they did. And I was listening to my local radio show the other day, talk about, you know, things that were happening and thinking, you know, is Florida the most craziest place on earth where stuff like this happens? Because it seems as though if it's crazy and weird, it happens in Florida. So I thought, why don't I take this as a real challenge and do a Florida Man versus the World contest. And so every week, basically, depending on the guest who I have, Corey, who's not only in another city, but actually in another country, and this is going to work out great. So I am going to pull a recent Florida Man story, and I'll share it on the show, and I'm going to ask my guests to do the same thing with somebody in their city. And we're going to keep a little running tally because I'm going to put on the Facebook page, we're going to put links to the stories, and I will keep a running poll for my listeners to go onto the Facebook page, view the stories, and vote as to which one is the weirdest, craziest, funniest, whatever criteria you want to use. So we're going to vote and see how well Florida Man does versus the rest of the world. Sound interesting enough for you, Corey?
Works for me.
Okay. So let's see, which one? Okay. So I had given you an example earlier, but let me put this link in real quick because this one is much more recent than the one I showed you. But if you'll click on the link, I will read. First, I'll just read the title and then I'll let you read your title and then we'll both describe what these things are. But basically, my title says, Florida Man Breaks Into Home, Sucks on Sleeping Man's Toes. Okay.
And it's a pretty high bar you're asking me to.
All right. And now, what's the title of your story?
Best I've got is woman accused of tossing chair off Toronto high-rise balcony pleads guilty.
Okay. And I've got the link there. So woman accused of tossing chair off Toronto high-rise. So why don't we'll start with yours. And if, as we go into the story, what's the premise of what she did and, you know, why did she do it? What was the ruckus?
So she was renting out an Airbnb with a bunch of people, and I'm sure they were partying, and I'm sure she was drunk or high or whatever she happened to be. She steps out onto the balcony, and so Toronto has a raised highway called the Gardiner Expressway, and it's a very busy highway. She was in a high rise that overlooked the highway. For whatever reason, she was possessed to grab a chair and throw it off the balcony onto the highway. And she got, and so, oh, and sorry, take a video of it and post it to Instagram. So for whatever reason, she did all of these things, and turns out it became a big thing on Reddit, and the people on Reddit tracked her down, and she got arrested. So now she's pleading guilty. But just to, as an aside, for just to tell you how sad society has become, she's now an Instagram influencer.
Of course.
That's what she did. She did not, as far as I'm aware, suck on any sleeping people's toes.
All right. And I just closed the link. When did that happen, actually?
Let me take a look. That was November 15th, 2019.
Okay, so that was a while back. But I know that there has been an update to that.
It turns out she was an extra in a Drake video, and somebody spotted her in the Drake video, and Drake had her edited out. So she's all over the place.
But
I might as well, even though she's known as Chair Girl, I might as well name her. Her actual name is Marcella Zoya. And she's 19 years
old. 19 years old.
19.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my story happened much more recently. So the day that we're recording this, and I know that one of the rules of podcasting is you're not supposed to date your episodes, but I'm going to. So this is being recorded on January 8th. This story broke in January 7th, and police are on the lookout for a Florida man who broke into a home and sucked on a man's toes. So the story was just released. The incident actually occurred Christmas Eve at a Bradenton home, and Bradenton is on the other side of the state from Fort Lauderdale. It's close to the Tampa area. And the way the original story, it was actually from the victim's side, who basically said he woke up to find another man sucking on his toes. And the man told deputies he assumed he was being robbed, so he told the intruder he didn't have any money, but the intruder basically said, "No, I'm here to suck on your toes." And so the man punched him in the face, called police. So I will have the link to that story. And oh, my goodness. So I'm going to put both of these links up on the Facebook, hopefully tomorrow. And so by the time that people have heard this, they can go there, and we will start the first official voting poll for Florida Man versus the World. And interesting story. It's amazing how so many people can do something stupid and then become a social media influencer.
Crazy.
But I guess, I mean, is she a millennial? Is 19 the millennial age? Because I guess that's what they do. Once you just basically get famous for anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I don't think it's a good sign for our society, but here we are.
Here we are. All right. Well, Corey, thank you very much for coming on the show and giving us a great look into basically personal privacy, I guess. All the things that you can do to kind of prevent yourself from being tracked every minute of every day.
Yep. Thank you very much for having me on the show. And if anyone has any questions, they're welcome to reach out to me, and I'd be happy to answer them.
All right. Corey Fruitman, the founder and owner of Instant House Call, and a fantastic product, folks. If you need remote support, head over to instanthousecall.com and check that out. But for now, I will say thank you again, Corey, and we'll go ahead and start saying goodnight to our listeners.
Thank you, and good night.
All right, folks, you have just listened. All right, folks, you've just listened to another great podcast with our friend, Corey Fruitman. And I don't really need to do any housekeeping here at the end, because I did that at the beginning. And I will have a very long show note with all the things that we talked about. But I want to encourage you to tell your friends about PodNuts Pro and subscribe on whatever podcatcher you use. Support the sponsors and affiliates that I list in the show note: Freedom Voice, Malwarebytes, Fabs Auto Backup, and there will be more coming throughout the year. head over to patreon.com and start supporting the show in another way. And I will start to put up some nice premium content over there, have some private podcasts, and do some other group meetings and private peer groups, all that sort of stuff. So be tuned to all of that. So that's going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro, folks. Thank you very much for listening. And until next time, holla.